Let me take a seat. Let's just welcome Bob. I'm going to pass around this basket. Anyone who'd like to put in a love offering, putting this stuff on for free. But maybe you're just here for a session or you want to sow into really Mark's ministry. I highly recommend you do that.
When's that break? Give me a time. Hello, everyone. And welcome to those who didn't make it in the first session. You're very welcome. It's great to see you. And so excited about what the Lord is going to do tomorrow through us. Excited about just sharing with you as well. We're having a break at 3:30. Okay, so Linda, just wave at me if I go over. This gentle ministry works within a loving and compassionate environment, full of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. It is marked by a true sense of peace. Amongst the hustle and bustle of busy shoppers walks the Prince of Peace. Stillness falls. Passers-by begin to slow and stop as the presence of God draws their heart. So I was sharing a little bit earlier about the presence of God and spend a little bit of time, quite a lot of time on his presence. It's one of the five distinguishing marks of this ministry. And one of the things that if you are going to do healing on the streets, if you're going to launch healing on the streets, these are the things that you need to lean into. It's a simple but a beautiful way to reach out to the lost and hurting on the streets of your town or city. It enables you to connect your community every week, powerfully expressing God's love in the marketplace, whatever the weather. And we've knelt and we kneel to pray around the chairs, whoever who would come and sit there. We kneel in the snow, the ice, the rain, and in cold rain, those rare occasions where the sun is shining. And it's like we're ministering, we're washing the feet of our community. It's such a beautiful ministry. It's very gentle. It's marked by peace, so, and love and compassion. So the presence of the Holy Spirit, peace, gentleness, love and compassion are five of the marks of this ministry that distinguish this ministry. I spent a lot of time on the presence of the Holy Spirit, peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. In the busiest of places, we create a sanctuary, a safe place, an oasis where people can experience his peace. And we have to learn to pray from the place of peace. How many of you ever prayed for someone who needs a miracle, and instead of peace, panic begins to rise in your heart? Anyone ever felt that? Okay. Well, we have to learn to pray from a place of peace rather than panic. So the perspective is this: from here, this earthly, worldly kingdom, there's panic. But with Jesus, where he said, "It is finished," it's peace. We have to learn to be able to power nap on the stern of a cushion in the midst of a storm.
Yeah.
I am the Jedi of power napping. If you're involved in any kind of traveling ministry, you have to learn how to power nap. I teach all my interns how to do that. They become experts. Right? But you know, when Jesus sleeps on the stern of a cushion, on a cushion in the stern of a boat, in the midst of a storm that is about to sink your boat, what is he saying? He's reflecting the reality of another kingdom. He's reflecting the reality of another kingdom, of his kingdom. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And before the throne of God is a sea of glass. And Jesus rules and reigns. He said, "It is finished," and there's peace there. Mm. And he had, all authority has been given to him. Everything's been placed under his feet. So when he awoke after disciples thinking, Lord, don't you care for us? We're about to drown. Can't you see? You know, is it funny that we feel like drowning, and often we feel like God is far away? He's actually been expecting us to do something with what it is we've been given. I can almost see the Lord saying, guys, you haven't got it, have you? You know, didn't I give you authority a chapter back? Why are you so afraid? You still have no faith? Let me show you what I mean. He rebukes the wind and says to the waves, quiet, be still. And this roaring wind becomes a whisper and the waves become like a sea of glass. And he says, you could have at least had a go. And when they actually came from that place of fear to a place of faith, where, do you know James and John, their nickname was Boanerges, which means?
Sons of thunder.
Sons of thunder. Do you know anyone with a short temper, ready for a fight? Anyone know anyone like, yes. Well, do you remember when Jesus sent the messengers ahead of him to prepare the way as he was entering into Jerusalem? And these messengers returned from a Samaritan village and said, this village has rejected you because they've heard that you're going to Jerusalem. And you know that the Jews and Samaritans didn't get on. And James and John, who are brothers, overheard this. I can just see the picture. They become really indignant. They said what? They said what? They rejected our Lord. And I love the way the message puts this. It says, Lord, do you want us, you know, James and John, us brothers, to call down a lightning bolt out of the sky? We will incinerate this village. That's what it says. They said, we will call down fire out of heaven, just like Elijah did, and we will raise this village to the ground. And of course, the Lord rebukes them, says, no, don't do that. You know, we're meant to love people, not burn them. Okay, so although you have authority, you've been given authority, don't start calling down fire on people, all right? Please don't do that. I really believe Jesus said, come on, you can. I mean, in hindsight, if I was one of the disciples, I think I would have said to the rest of the disciples, hey, guys, don't wake the Lord up. Let's see what happens. This is going to be fun because he said, we're getting to the other side. I want to see what happens. Right. Let's see what happens, because somehow we're getting across. But this is fun. Let's see what happens. It's safer to be in a sinking boat when Jesus is in the boat. Mm. Or if there's a storm and he's walking on water, to be out of the boat and walking on water. Anyway, that's something else. So what I was saying is that Jesus reflects peace, and we have to learn to pray from a different perspective. From the position of the identity of being a child of heaven, citizen of God's kingdom, praying from that, being seated with him, and from that place having full assurance that we are an ambassador, we are, you know, a representative of Jesus, he's delegated his authority to us, we're a royal priesthood, and from that place, seated with him, and he's saying, go on, Mark, you can do it. I've given you the keys to the kingdom. And when you begin to exercise that authority, I'll back it up from heaven. Mm-hmm. And from that position, I begin to speak. Mm-hmm. So you need to learn, instead of panic, to learn to pray with peace in your heart. Because the person sitting in his chair needs to experience the peace of God. And one of the most common things that they say, that people say when they come to the chairs, is there is such incredible peace here. Mm-hmm. So why can't I take this peace with me? Mm-hmm. I just shared a story. I don't know if I spoke to someone. It is. There you go. Your seat is on the left. It's right there in front of you. Love that. A man travelled. Remember, in Coleraine, people are travelling from all over Ireland to get to Coleraine because they heard. I mean, the newspapers, the most sceptical paper in Ireland, the Irish Times, reported. They sent their most sceptical reporter to interview me to see what was going on. The photographer, the only words that could come out the photographer's mouth when he was photographing what we were doing was, and honestly, this is all he said, this is amazing. this is amazing. This is amazing. And the reporter, her eyes are like saucers. She's hearing story after story. I was really trying to encourage her to take a seat. She said, no, I'm trying to be professional. She was afraid to sit on the chair. She was afraid. And then she interviewed at the team. She was like, people coming up to her and telling her. We hadn't paid them, but they were coming and telling her they'd just been healed. It was amazing. She said, I've seen enough. I've heard enough. And about 2-3 weeks later, the article came out in the Irish Times, and it was as if a Christian had written it. Wow. With the result that people come from all over Ireland. We're having whole communities being touched. One person gets healed, they tell all their neighbours.
Yeah. Yeah.
The neighbours come, they're getting saved.
Yes.
And people are coming and say, what do we do? The people are getting saved all over the place. This life change is incredible. Mm-hmm. And a man came all the way from, he drove all the way from Cork, 370 miles away. He's never been to Coleraine before in his life. He's drawn there. We said, you've driven all this way just to be with us. He said, you must really need you need healing in your body. You must be really desperate for healing. He said, no. He says, I have health and I have wealth, but one thing I don't have, you have, and I need. I have no peace, but there's peace here. I said, you've come to the right place. And we introduced him to Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And he left and he went back to Cork with a spring in his step and the biggest grin on his face.
Amen.
So here's, you have to learn to pray from a place of peace that you can release the peace of God to that person. Right? Instead of panic from this perspective, you pray from peace from that one. Instead of fear from this perspective, you pray with faith from this one. Instead of being stressed out when you pray, and you can be stressed out, allow yourself to be stretched from this perspective. And as you allow God to stretch you, faith will grow within that stretching. Amen. Faith will grow.
Amen.
But you need to allow yourself to be stretched. You're going to pray prayers you never prayed before. Big prayers. Impossible prayers that only God can answer.
Amen.
You need to step into things that only God can do.
Amen.
Because how else can he be glorified?
Yes.
As I said before, Christians can do things that never need you, where you never need God. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's things you can do where you don't need God. But if you want to please God, if you want to see him, you want to see him glorified, then step into the impossible, pray big prayers and have faith. And I want to tell you this, Jesus loves to answer prayer because he said that he brings, because it glorifies the Father. And the Son loves to glorify the Father. So he answers prayer in order to bring glory to the Father.
Yeah.
So how much does Jesus want to answer prayer? He really loves answering prayer.
Yeah.
We just think he's like stingy with answering prayer. He's not. He loves to answer prayer. And we have to learn to pray big prayers. And I could tell you, just
Amen.
Prayers I prayed. Prayers I prayed seem impossible to answer. And yet God's done it. I went to Egypt. That was an interesting place to go to. And anyone heard of the mountain that flew? In Egypt, yes. I wish I had time to tell you about the mountain that flew. Jesus said, you can say to this mountain and tell it to move and it will move. That is a true story. The mountain that flew in Egypt. I'm not going to tell you it.
Oh.
We'd be here all day. I could keep telling you stories. I have so many stories to tell you. The dead being raised of, bodies that have rotted for 2.5 days coming to be brought back to life. I wish I had time to tell you those stories. I don't, sorry. Of angels, of things of the spirit, of, I can't, I need to, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to teach you healing on the streets. So, but by the time I finish, and the more the practical things soon, so that you're going to learn how to do that. And tonight I'm going to teach you the miracle question, which you can take anywhere and you'll have a load of fun with that. A lot of fun with the miracle question. So learn to pray from the place of rest. Don't panic. Your part to play is to pray your best prayer, okay? And you're going, Mark, what? I've heard you mention that a few times. What is your best prayer? I'll come to that later. Peace, gentleness is the other quality of this ministry. The way that we approach people, the way we speak to people, the way we minister to them. Please don't argue with people. Do you know that a wise man once said this? If you have a crooked stick, don't argue that the stick is crooked. Do you know what I mean by that? So, you know, you have a crooked stick and you say, this stick is crooked. You know there are people that will want to argue with you. Do you know that? Have you ever met them? You say, this stick is crooked. And I go, no, it's not. Right? Don't waste your time arguing with those people. Put the crooked stick on the ground and put a straight stick next to it. Don't argue. Demonstrate. I remember I was in Watford. I was Soul Survivor. I was with like some of the founders of Soul Survivor. If you know Soul Survivor. And I was there, and one of the founders of Soul Survivor was in a heated debate with a Muslim, or the Muslim was wanting to argue with her, and so she needed rescuing. So she looked at me and said like that, and I thought, oh, poor thing, you know, she's in a bit of trouble. So I went over to her. And he turns his attention to me, and he wants to argue with me. Now, when I was a younger Christian, I would have loved to have stood toe-to-toe with this guy and debate scripture. Would have got, oh, wait a minute, let me get my Bible. He was primed for that, but I just looked at him, and I thought, I smiled, and I said, Lord, how you love this man. You love him so much. And how you've changed my heart, my attitude towards him. You know, so he's trying to provoke something from me. And I just smiled and I just said to him, and I wasn't, you know, taking the bait. I said, where does it hurt? He said, it's my back. I said, come and take a seat. So we're walking to the chair and he's trying to argue with me, right? I'm not taking the bait, I'm smiling. He says, really, it's a painful back here. Yeah, and he's trying to, I said, sit down. I said, okay, I'm going to pray for you. And the Jesus who I follow is going to heal you right now. And he just looks at me. I pray for him. And I say, now test your back out. And he showed no emotion. And he didn't blink. And he said, I don't have to. He said, I can't argue with you. I'm healed. I can't argue with you. I'm healed, he said. And then the next thing, he wouldn't stop shaking our hands. He was just like going crazy, shaking everybody's hand. And I know the next time that if that man has a conversation in that street, it would be a completely different conversation.
Yeah.
We have. Everything changed. Wow. Don't argue. Be gentle in our speech. Be gentle. Have a gentle answer for people. For the faith that we have, okay, don't have to argue. Don't get into arguments, but demonstrate God's love, and you'll get there a lot quicker. I've had people say, "I'm known to talk a lot, but I'm gobsmacked after being touched by God." One man, he was a businessman, brought this woman who was broken, hurting physically, emotionally, many, many ways. This man was known in the church not to show any kind. He was not a person to show his emotions anyway. And so the team came, they knelt around this woman, began to minister the love of God, began to release healing to her in the name of Jesus. And as this man watched, he just wept. He bawled his eyes out openly, publicly, because he saw Jesus. He saw Jesus embracing this woman, and he saw how Jesus was just pouring out his love on this woman. The woman remarked that she had experienced a gentleness that was beyond gentle. She said, I have experienced a gentleness that is beyond gentle. And we knew then that Jesus had touched her. God had healed her and touched her. So be gentle. Bruised reed, Matthew 12:19-21. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. Wherever I go, doesn't matter what city, and even from different areas of the city, everybody is the same. You go into very wealthy parts of a city, there's a lot of wealth. And the only difference in those areas is that people can afford a better facade. That's all. Do you see? How are you? I'm great. You know? Doing well? Yeah, everything's well. Life is fantastic. It's amazing. You know? And actually, inside, they're falling apart. Their marriage is collapsing. Everything's going, hey, it doesn't matter. Money is not the answer. And you go to some, and I've been to some very rough areas, very poor areas, and you just see raw pain. Hey, this is what life is like. It's rough. I don't hide anything, you know. This is like, for me, life sucks, okay? Don't ask me. Look. Just look here. And they both need Jesus. They both need Jesus. So whether you can have the wealthiest person sitting in one chair and the poorest sitting in the next, and we're kneeling to minister the love of Jesus to them in a very gentle way, and love and compassion. Let me just come to that. You know, it's so important. Whether a person is healed or not, whether they've received healing or not, when they sit in this chair, they must know before they leave that Jesus loves them. They must know about the love of God. And you've got to share it in the best way that you possibly can. It's important that they know that. We exist for those outside. How far are you prepared to go to reach them, to rescue them? People need rescuing. How far are you prepared to look for that one? How long are you willing to stand outside? How far would you go to kneel in the snow and the ice? 2 years we knelt in the ice where our knees were frozen to the ground. We were a little bit slow. Nobody thought of getting kneeling pads, you know, so somebody took pity on us. There's a great story of a man who, in the early days of healing on the streets, he would come. He would come to where we did. We meet in one place. We've met in that same spot for the last 12 years, every Saturday, without fail, regardless of the weather. The weather is no hindrance to God. Do you know that? We're frozen like this. It's pouring of rain, and we're thinking, we've got 5 minutes to go. Let's pack up. No. We don't do that. We've seen in the last minute someone come, sit on a chair, a wet chair. We wipe it before we let them sit on it. Hold on a moment. Get the umbrella up. Hold on a moment. We wipe the chair dry because it's just, the rain is pouring, right? Hold on a moment. Umbrellas come up. We wipe the chair, put a pad in it. Please sit. Covered of umbrellas. Last minute to go. 1 minute to go before we start to pack up. And the man opens his heart up to Jesus, and the rain masks his tears. So we have a set time. We're there every time, on time. We don't leave. We have a rule as well. If nobody goes until the last chair is packed away, we're waiting. There's a person there. We're waiting. You know, we're ready to pack. We've gone past that time, ready to pack up. And somebody else comes. Am I too late? No. Open it up. And more people come. We might be there for another hour. We don't go until the last chair is packed away. You don't have to do that, by the way. But I'm just saying that's what we do. The compelling love of Christ propels us out into the marketplace. Whether they're healed or not, people who come to the chairs for prayer should be left in no doubt afterwards that God loves them. And that here are a group of Christ-passionate people who truly care and show love. So whether they're healed or not, when they leave, they must know that Jesus loves them.
That's good.
And so before we pray for them, so we found out their name. I'm going to go through it in a short while. We're going to learn how we do this. But before we pray for them, we tell them about God's love in whatever way that God has placed in our hearts to release that to them. And in that moment, it's been amazing. I've seen people healed just by being the person being told about the love of Jesus. We've seen people delivered. So Mark, what happens when somebody starts to manifest as a demon, right? You know, demon, But what we don't do is this. Okay, back everybody. It's a demon, right? Cordon it off. Cordon. Demon. Demon. Don't do it. No, we don't do that, okay? Here's a guy. We start telling him about the love of Jesus. A demon starts to manifest. I thought, great. So we get in a bit closer. We're going to protect this guy. We put our arm around him. And I thought, this is really amazing. So I begin to tell him more about the love of Jesus. Keep telling him, keep impressing upon him, just tell him the truth of God's love. I wasn't casting anything out, you know, like in the name of Jesus, I command you, evil spirit, come out. None of that. I just said, began to tell him the truth of God's love for him. And the demon must have thought, I've had enough of this, I'm out. And he went. And the Bible says this, the perfect love of God drives out what?
Fear.
Drives out fear. We've seen people healed just by telling. So it's really important that you begin to express, to tell them, speak to them what God is, what God thinks about them. What are you saying to them? And allow the Holy Spirit to cause that truth to penetrate in the innermost being. It's amazing what happens.
Mm.
So we started meeting on the streets. We started doing every Saturday. A man comes. We invite to come take a seat for prayer. He says, no thanks, but would it be okay if I just hung around? Said, sure. Well, this man hung around for a whole year. Right? He never came for prayer. He just felt God's presence. We discovered his name was John. Right? And we got to know. We're building relationships because it's not like an event. This is like we are building relationships with our community. We're here for the long term. It's not hit and run. This is like we mean business. We're investing in you, and we're believing that the Spirit of God's going to come. We want to see our town and our cities come to know Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, so it's a long-term thing. So John came and he stood to one side, and he came every Saturday. He came. He headed up. He was the head of a motorbiking community. He was really well known. He had a fantastic collection of motorbikes, but he never came for prayer. But he was in the presence of God, and he knew that. Every Saturday he was there. And he just watched. And we got to know him and look forward to him coming. When it was really cold, we would have these big flasks of water. We'd make coffee, you know, when it gets very cold. And so we'd make tea and coffee, and we discovered that John only liked good quality coffee. Did anyone identify with John? You. Good quality coffee. So we made sure there was good quality coffee for John. And then, when we had the opportunity to break out some biscuits, so when there was like a, you know, it was a little quieter, not many people were coming. So, okay, we'll have a coffee, we'll have a biscuit. And we always offered John coffee and biscuits. We discovered that he only liked the cookies from Marks and Spencer's, you know? So we made sure that we got the cookies from Marks and Spencer's, and it was just my, you know, I just thought it was a good excuse to buy, you know, pistachio nut cookies are my favorite, personal favorites, and chocolate chip cookies, you know? And so we had them there, and so we looked forward to seeing John, and we gave him the chocolate chip cookies and the good quality coffee. Whole year. We spent kneeling in the snow and the ice, and John was there watching all the time. And then one day, I never forget, this was early days when I had to prepare the team, prepare the equipment. I would pack the back of the car. We had an estate, pack it up with all the chairs and the equipment. We had a speaker to play music, which helps connect people, you know, with the presence of God. Music has a way of connecting with people quicker than words can. Do you know that? From a distance, people can feel, they sense the presence of God. So we have music we play on the streets designed to help people connect with God's presence. We have these plastic containers that we have Bibles in them. We have envelopes which tell the person who we are, what we did, what to do if they were healed or not healed, how to pursue God further now that we encountered him. Also, there was an alpha booklet you know, what a Why Jesus booklet and some other things, and how an invitation. We want to invite them, personally invite them to come to church as well. And we give that to everyone. And there was like towels and everything for every eventuality we had in these waterproof containers. It rains a lot in Coleraine. You have to learn to be waterproof. When you've done healing on the streets in Coleraine for 12 years, you know how to keep warm. I mean, I would have like 3 layers of thermals on, 5 layers of clothing on, waterproof hat, thing around my neck. I'd be like the Michelin man, like this. I still get wet. I wonder how that's possible, but you know, the rain in Coleraine is something else. And it was one of those wet days, and I was just getting myself ready. And you know those pedal bin liners? You know pedal bin liners on the reel? I would usually take one of those, tear it off, so that I would be able to cover the speaker when it's raining to keep it waterproof. So we could still have music playing even when it was raining. But it was one of those crazy days. I was in a hurry, and instead of one bag coming, I needed one bag for the speaker. I pulled two, 3 bags came off in my hand, off this reel. Have you ever done anything that's illogical, but you can't stop yourself from doing it and you have no idea why you did it? It's one of those days. I thought, nuts. So I stuck, but I'm in a hurry. I stuck them in my jacket, waterproof jacket. Everything's ready. Went out onto the streets. Set everything up. Everything's ready. And away we go. People start coming to the chairs. Looked over to my left. Here is a paranoid schizophrenic who's hooked on marijuana. Has got to be the worst combination ever. Receiving prayer by the team. I look over to my right. There's a young man with Tourette's. You know, who starts shouting out obscenities with a team surrounding him praying their best prayers. I thought, Lord, can it get any better than this? And I see this man in his 40s, late 40s, walking towards me. And all I can tell you is that he was in a terrible state. So let me give you some kind of description so you can understand how he looked. He was covered from head to foot in dry vomit. So that will give you an idea to start with. He came, he sat in the chair, and I went and knelt next to him. And he said, every time I come by here, I'm drawn to you. He said, I can't talk to anybody. I don't think, nobody wants to speak to me, and nobody could understand me anyway, but I'm drawn to you. There is something about you that I know that I can talk to you. And he began to share how he had lost his wife, he had lost his children, he had lost his business, he had lost his home. And the only thing left to lose was his life. He pulled open his jacket, and inside was a bottle of Poitin, which is this Irish, it's illegal alcohol made in Ireland from it's distilled potato peels, amongst other things. It's like rocket fuel. It's a real high percentage, and it will turn you blind if you drink it. It is, you know, very, very powerful drink. And inside the bottle wasn't even pure. He had vomited back into the bottle. So I'll give you an idea for this whole thing. And as he showed me this, my heart went out to him. My heart went out to this poor man. And as I knelt, I put my arm around it and I began to pray my best prayer for him. And I began to tell him how precious his life was to God and what his life meant to Jesus. And as I was sharing as best I could and trying to convey to him his life to God and what his life meant, his warning came too late. He was about to warn me. His warning came too late. He vomited. Right? The vomit went all over me, over the floor. And this poor man was so embarrassed, so apologetic, he tried to warn me. It was too late. I said, hey, it's okay. Don't worry. Nothing's changed. God loves you with all of his heart. Your life is precious to him. I realized why I had those other two bags in my pocket. I pulled them out. I gave it to him. He just fills them. The stench was so bad. My stomach was going. I was heaving. Right. I had never been too good with this ever. Not even when our children were born. Our young children were throwing. My stomach was never ever good with this. And I'm heaving and everything. You know, we have paper towels and everything. So I'm getting the paper towels and I'm wiping up the sick off me and off the ground. People are walking by, their noses in the air. They see the mess and the stench and everything. And it's like, it's gross. The whole thing is gross. We have the best team in Coleraine. Right? They're Healing on the Streets teamed all over the world. And I have to tell you that I'm a little bit biased. I'm sorry. But we have the best team in Coleraine. And I was looking for some support from my team. So I looked over my shoulder and they were gone. It was like, Mark, this is yours. We leave you the blessing of, you know, whatever God is doing to this man. We leave you with him. We are busy ourselves. They were gone. But standing 2 feet away, watching every move that I made and listening to every word that I was saying was John, wow. Who's been there a whole year,
wow.
Watching. For a whole year he's been watching, standing 2 feet away. I thought, great, you know, my team, where are they? So clear everything up. He finishes with the two bags. I dispose of them. I go and kneel back down next to him. Again, reaffirm God's love to him, that nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. His life is precious to Jesus. He took a deep sigh. He put his arm around me like this. I missed the bit of sick that was on his arm. I felt the sick go around the back of my neck. And I just went, oh, Lord. And continued to pray my best prayer. And when that man got up and left, the rain came and washed away the last traces of puke that was on the ground. And then when I got home, Linda said to me, Mark, what is that smell? I mean, it was really awful. And in that moment, God gave me another facet of his unfathomable love for people. You know, God gives you a revelation of his love for us and for people who sit on the chair, who Jesus died for. You are forever ruined. Your life will never be the same again. Do you know that? Just is one split second. One split second to see the revelation of the Father's heart for the one who is sitting here, who he allowed his son to die for. And you will never be the same. You'll be forever ruined. I used to say that to my team. I don't know why you're here at the training. I don't know what your motives are. Maybe it's because you want to see God heal the sick. Maybe it's because you want to be used. God, you want God to work through you. And you want to be part of that. Maybe it's because you're a skeptic and you don't know whether God heals or not. Well, that's great. You're in the right place to find that out. Maybe because God has so captivated your heart that you're compelled, that the love of Christ in you compels you, propels you out into the marketplace. That you have to tell people about God's love. You have to share the gospel of his grace. But whatever your motive is, one day when that happens, I don't know what your motive is, but when you kneel and God shows you his love for this person who Jesus died for, you will be ruined. One day it happened. I looked and I saw all our chairs filled with members of the public and they were all weeping. The people sitting in chairs were weeping. I said, God, wow, you're moving. And I looked closely and I saw all our team weeping with those who wept on the chairs. I said, God, thank you. You've just ruined my team. For the last 12 years, we haven't had a rota. You know what a rota is, don't you? We want to know who's going to turn up on this date. For 12 years, we have not had a rota. Tomorrow, if you were to say to me, Mark, how many people, who's coming on the team tomorrow in Coleraine? I don't know. But I'll tell you something, there'll be a team. There'll be a team there. We always have had a team. In the early days, people would come to me and say, Mark, I'm sorry, I can't make Saturday. I said, why not? Mark, I have to go to a wedding. I said, fantastic. Go and enjoy yourself and celebrate the reception. I said, no, Mark, I want to be here. No, you've got to go. You've got to go. The world will still revolve. But Mark, this is because they've experience the heart of God. And when Linda said to him, what's that smell? God showed me another facet of his unfathomable love. Unfathomable love. Beyond understanding. And you know, we don't fully understand how sin affects God. Do you know that? We don't really know. Talk about sin. We really don't know how it affects them. And God tries to give us, in our limited understanding, an inkling of what it's like. And he said it's like a stench to his nostrils. Have you ever smelt something that is so bad that you'd rather not take another breath? You know, we live on a hill on farmland. God has blessed us with this beautiful, beautiful thin place where heaven is very close to earth, and angels are around and they sing, and God is so close. It's amazing. It is a thin place. But one morning, I woke up and I thought our cat had had an accident right next to my pillow. That's all I can say, right? It was not a good smell, right? So I was looking around, look at me. Anyway, so I'm in my dressing gown. I don't know why, but I had to step out of the house. As I stepped out of the house, there was a field in front of our house with a farmer. We're surrounded by farmland. But in the field in front of our house, at the back, at the end of the field, was this mountain of this particular stuff, which is not of this world. That's all I'm going to say. But it hit me. The smell of it hit me like a wall, right? And, you know, if you're used to country smells, you know the country manure smells? It wasn't that smell. That's all I'm going to say. I nearly gagged right there. I had to run back in the house. Timothy, who's now living in California, it was just Timmy and myself in the house. We had to jump in the car, run to the car, and drive out of the area. It was that bad. That farmer had complaints from miles away, and he apologized. He says, I'm never going to use this thing again. Right, it was that bad. There's the closest thing I can describe the reaction of a smell that you'd rather pass out than not take another breath. And sin affects God in that way. It's so repellent to him, so alien, repellent to him, that it affects him. And yet, God is showing me that when I was steeped in the filth and the muck, and I could use stronger words, but I won't, of my own sin, that Jesus came into the stench and the filth of that, and he rescued me. Mm. He came into the mess and the muck, and he rescued me. And then God spoke to him and said, Mark, this is what it's going to take. If you're willing to reach those, and you want to reach those outside this building, this is what's going to take. Are you willing to love the unlovable? Are you willing to love those sometimes you'd rather cross on the other side of the road to avoid? Are you willing to love those people unconditionally? Are you willing to embrace those whose shame is so visible and cover and hide their shame with the Father's love? And are you willing to go hands and knees in someone else's mess and help them to clear it up? I said, yes, Lord, I'm willing to do that. Because God was showing me the depths of his love, incredible love. And you know what happened the next day? The next day was Sunday. Who do you think turned up in church?
John.
He'd been on the street for a whole year. He's never come for prayer. But he was watching. The next day, John turned up in church. And he gave his yes to Jesus. He repented, turned to Christ. Got involved in church, small group. The following Saturday, when we met on the streets, and as every time we meet, we kneel to pray to begin. We knelt to pray. We began to lean to God, Lord, unless your presence comes. Mm-hmm. I felt someone quietly kneel beside me. I opened my eyes. It was John. I was reminded of our very first prayer on the streets. Lord, that the people of Coleraine would bow their knee to you. And here was our first.
Wow.
And you know, John has gone to be with Jesus. What a privilege it was to kneel in the snow and the ice just for him. Mm. 1 year. 1 year. I would do it again. Mm. And the man who had come for prayer, remember the one who had gone, he's also gone to be with Jesus because he also opened his heart up to the Lord.
Wow.
So amazing. Whether they're healed or not, they must know God loves them. When you tell them about Jesus, the sacrifice he made, you're sharing Jesus, you're sharing his love. Whatever you share it in love. When you speak truth, speak it in love. Okay, and with gentleness. What time did we say for a break?
3:30.
Wow. What good timing. Okay. God bless. Have a break. We'll come back for the next session.
Let's meet back at 2:15.